sacrifice than to his blood. See from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrowing love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet? Our hearts compose so rich a crown. Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were a tribute far too small, not so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. Almighty God, graciously behold this your family, for whom our Lord Jesus Christ was willing to be betrayed and delivered into the hands of sinful men, to suffer death upon the cross. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Old Testament reading from Isaiah the prophet. Behold, my servant shall act wisely. He shall be high and lifted up, and shall be exalted. As many were astonished at you, his appearance was so marred beyond human semblance, and his form beyond that of the children of mankind, so shall he sprinkle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths because of him, for that which has not been told them they see, and that which they have not heard they understand. Who has believed what they heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hid their faces. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation, who consider that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people? And they made his grave with the wicked, and with a rich man in his death, although he had done no violence, and there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him, to put him to grief when his soul makes an offering for sin. He shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Merciful and everlasting God, you did not spare your only Son, but delivered him up for us all to bear our sins on the cross. Grant that our hearts may be so fixed with steadfast faith in him that we fear not the power of sin, death, and the devil. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The epistle is from Hebrews chapters 4 and 5. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverence. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you willed that your Son should bear for us the pains of the cross, and so remove us from the power of the adversary. Help us so to remember and give thanks for our Lord's passion, that we may receive forgiveness of sin and redemption from everlasting death. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We'll sing the hymn, then we'll read the Passion of our Lord.
griefs and fears, by grace abused, by misspent years. Yet now to weep with contrite tears, Christ crucified I come. Wash me and take away its stain. Let nothing of my sin remain. For cleansing though it be through pain, Christ crucified I come. So sweet the service be, that angels well might envy me. Christ crucified I come.
The Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. John the Evangelist. Jesus went out with his disciples across the Kidron Valley, where there was a garden, which he and his disciples entered. Now Judas, who betrayed him, also knew the place, for Jesus often met there with his disciples. So Judas, having procured a band of soldiers and some officers from the chief priests and the Pharisees, went there with lanterns and torches and weapons. Then Jesus, knowing all that would happen to him, came forward and said to them, "Whom do you seek?" They answered him, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus said to them, "I am he." Judas, who betrayed him, was standing with them. When Jesus said to them, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. So he asked them again, "Whom do you seek?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus answered, "I told you that I am he. So if you seek me, let these men go." This was to fulfill the word that he had spoken, "Of those whom you gave me, I have lost not one." Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. So Jesus said to Peter, "Put your sword into its sheath. Shall I not drink the cup that the Father has given me?"
Despised and boring, I joy to call thee.
So the band of soldiers and their captain and the officers of the Jews arrested Jesus and bound him. First they led him to Annas, for he was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was high priest that year. It was Caiaphas who had advised the Jews that it would be expedient that one man should die for the people. Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. Since that disciple was known to the high priest, he entered with Jesus into the court of the high priest. But Peter stood outside at the door. So the other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out and spoke to the servant girl who kept watch at the door and brought Peter in. The servant girl at the door said to Peter, "You also are not one of the man's disciples, are you?" He said, "I am not." Now the servants and the officers had made a charcoal fire because it was cold, and they were standing and warming themselves. Peter also was with them, standing and warming himself. The high priest then questioned Jesus about his disciples and his teaching. Jesus answered him, "I have spoken openly to the world. I have always taught in the synagogues and in the temple, where all Jews come together. I have said nothing in secret. Why do you ask me? Ask those who have heard me what I said to them. They know what I said." When he had said these things, one of the officers standing by struck Jesus with his hand, saying, "Is that how you answer the high priest?" Jesus answered him, "If what I said is wrong, bear witness about the wrong. But if what I said is right, why do you strike me?" Annas then sent him down to Caiaphas, the high priest. Now Simon Peter was standing and warming himself. So they said to him, "You also are not one of the disciples, are you?" He denied it and said, "I am not." One of the servants of the high priest, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, asked, "Did I not see you in the garden with him?" Peter again denied it. And at once, a rooster crowed. Then they led Jesus from the house of Caiaphas to the governor's headquarters. It was early morning. They themselves did not enter the governor's headquarters, so that they would not be defiled but could eat the Passover. So Pilate went outside to them and said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" They answered him, "If this man were not doing evil, we would not have delivered him over to you." Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and judge him by your own law." The Jews said to him, "It is not lawful for us to put anyone to death." This was to fulfill the word that Jesus had spoken to show by what kind of death he was going to die. So Pilate entered his headquarters again and called Jesus and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you say this of your own accord, or did others say it to you about me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting, that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from this world." Then Pilate said to him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" After he had said this, he went back outside to the Jews and told them, "I find no guilt in him. But you have a custom that I should release one man for you as a Passover. So do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews?" They cried out again, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now Barabbas was a robber.
What thou, my Lord, hast suffered was all for sinners' gain. My mind was a transgression, but find the deadly pain. Lord, I for my Savior decided thy grace. Look on me with thy favor, and grant to me thy grace.
Then Pilate took Jesus and flogged him. And the soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and arrayed him in purple robe. They came up to him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews," and struck him with their hands. Pilate went out again and said to them, "See, I am bringing him out to you, that you may know that I find no guilt in him." So Jesus came out, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. Pilate said to them, "Behold the man." When the chief priests and the officers saw him, they cried out, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and crucify him, for I find no guilt in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and according to that law, he ought to die because he has made himself the Son of God." When Pilate heard the statement, he was even more afraid. He entered his headquarters again and said to Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave him no answer. So Pilate said to him, "You will not speak to me? Do you not know that I have authority to release you and authority to crucify you?" Jesus answered him, "You would have no authority over me at all unless it had been given you from above. Therefore, he who delivered me over to you has the greater sin." From then on, Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, "If you release this man, you are not Caesar's friend. Everyone who makes himself a king opposes Caesar." So when Pilate heard these words, he brought Jesus out and sat down on the judgment seat at a place called the Stone Pavement, and in Aramaic, Gabbatha. Now it was the day of preparation of the Passover. It was about the sixth hour. He said to the Jews, "Behold your king." They cried out, "Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." So he delivered him over to them to be crucified.
My shepherd now receive me, my guardian hold me thine. Great blessings thou didst give me, a source of gifts divine. Thy lips have often fed me with words of truth and love. Thine spirit oft hath led me to heavenly joys above."
So they took Jesus, and he went out bearing his own cross to the place called the place of a skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on either side, and Jesus between them. Pilate also wrote an inscription and put it on the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read this inscription, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, And it was written in Aramaic, in Latin, and in Greek. So the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, "Do not write 'the King of the Jews,' but rather, 'This man said, I am the King of the Jews.'" Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his garments and divided them into four parts, one part for each soldier, also his tunic. But the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. So they said to one another, "Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to see whose it shall be." This was to fulfill the scripture which says, "They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." So the soldiers did these things.
What language shall I borrow to thank thee, dearest friend, for this thy dying sorrow, thy pity without end? Oh, make me thine forever, and should I fainting be, Lord, let me never, never outlive my love for thee.
Standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said, to fulfill the scripture, "I thirst." A jar full of sour wine stood there, so they put a sponge full of the sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit.
My Savior, be thou near me when death is at my door. Then let thy presence cheer me, forsake me nevermore. When soul and body languish, oh, leave me not alone, but take away my
since it was the day of preparation, and so that the bodies would not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a high day, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and the other who had been crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once there came out blood and water. He who saw it has borne witness. His testimony is true, and he knows that he is telling the truth, that you also may believe. For these things took place that scripture might be fulfilled: not one of his bones will be broken. And again another scripture says, they will look on him whom they pierced. After these things, Joseph of Arimathea, who was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him permission. So he came and took away his body. Nicodemus also, who earlier had come to Jesus by night, came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds in weight. So they took the body of Jesus and bound it in linen cloths with spices, as is the burial custom of the Jews. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb in which no one had yet been laid. So because of the Jewish day of preparation, since the tomb was close at hand, they laid Jesus there.
Be thou my consolation, my shield when I must die. Remind me of thy passion when my last hour draws nigh. Mine eyes shall then behold thee, upon thy cross shall dwell. My heart, my faith enfold thee, who dieth thus dies well.
Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God the Father, and from the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. He who saw it has borne witness, says the writer of this gospel reading, Saint John, the disciple and evangelist. His testimony is true, and he knows that he is telling the truth, that you also may believe. That those who read this account of the life of Jesus and his crucifixion and death and resurrection might believe. That those who hear these readings again and again and again might believe, because he says, this testimony is true. And he knows it is true because he witnessed it. And thanks be to God, by the power of the Spirit, we too who have heard it and read it, believe. We believe that he who suffered and died is the Son of God. Because he is God in flesh. He was in the beginning with God. He was the one with the Father at creation. And it is he who deigned to become a man when sin entered the world. He entered the world to receive rejection of his own. Those who questioned his message and his sayings, those who questioned his identity, those who scorned him because of where he came from Nazareth. It couldn't be that someone from Nazareth should be God's anointed, his Messiah, the Son of David, that he should be the Son of God. He came to his own, and his own received him not. He who shared the glory of the Father's only Son . His appearance was so marred beyond human semblance, the prophet Isaiah wrote hundreds of years before the Lord's crucifixion. And there on the cross, it is too hard to look and see. So marred beyond human semblance, and his form beyond that of the children of mankind. Yes, he suffered. He suffered in his life. He was despised and rejected. He is known as a man of sorrows who's acquainted with grief. And for that, they could not accept him. But thanks be to God, we receive him. And he knows what we experience in life, having experienced the life of humankind, that of the creature, acquainted with grief. He knows of our brokenness. He knows of our sadness. He knows of our sorrows. He knows when we are rejected and when we're despised. He knows how we feel. He was oppressed, and he knows the feeling of those who are oppressed around the world, especially at a time like this, when the mighty take advantage of the lowly, where the strong scorn those who are weak, where those who own much seek to plunder those who have little. He knows the sadness and the brokenness of the oppressed. He knows what it is to be at the receiving end. And yet, many still do not receive him. Still, they do not acknowledge him. Still, they care not to hear about him. He was marred and beyond human semblance, because it was the will of the Lord, his Father, to crush him, to put him to grief as an offering for sin. Yes, he suffered and died so that we might be saved from being crushed for our own sin, tortured for our own iniquities, abandoned for all that we are and what we are, so that we might be accounted righteous, so that we might be accounted forgiven, so that we might be accounted children of God and heirs of the kingdom. He is a wonderful Savior, regardless of our sins, whatever they might be, whatever the future might hold for us. He is a mighty Savior who knows, who hears, who is with us, and who comes to us in our time of need, in our time of quiet, in our time of joy, because he is God with us. Amen.
Chose to send to give. children from their dread of guilt and condemnation. The wrath and stripes are hard to bear, but by your passion they will share the fruit of your salvation.
Let us now pray for the whole Christian Church, that our Lord God would defend her against all the assaults and temptations of the adversary, and keep her perpetually on the true foundation, Jesus Christ. Let us pray for all ministers of the word, for all vocations in the church, and for all the people of God. For the whole body of the church is governed and sanctified. And that all may serve you, our God and Father, according to your calling. Let us pray for our catechumens throughout the church, those preparing to be baptized or confirmed or accepted into the body of Christ, that our Lord God would open their hearts and the door of his mercy seat, that having received the remission of all their sins by the washing of regeneration, they might be mindful of their baptism and evermore be found in Christ Jesus our Lord.
and that all the baptized may forever continue in the family of the Church and live as sons and daughters in His kingdom here on earth, as we all travel to the kingdom of glory, which shall be ushered in on the last day. Let us pray for all in authority, that they may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. That they may know that their authority and power comes from the heavens, even by the will of God, the one who created the heavens and the earth. That they will seek to put away all desires to use military might against one another, that they will seek to bring an end to conflicts around the world, that they will seek to bring relief to those who suffer as a result of the wanton bombing, bringing destruction to property and the end of lives, that they will bring an end to man's inhumanity to man. And that they will show mercy to those who seek mercy, that they will provide for those in need. They will welcome the stranger, the refugee, and the migrant, and all who seek food, shelter, that the dignity of man may be lifted up. Let us pray that our Lord God would deliver the world from all error, that He would take away disease, ward off famine, set free those in bondage, and grant health to the sick, and safe journey to all who travel. Let us pray for all who are outside of the Church, that our Lord God would be pleased to deliver them from their error, call them to faith in the true and living God and His only Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, and that they will be gathered into His family, the Church, and live in the glory of His Son, Jesus, who died for the sins of the world, defeated sin, death, and the devil, and rose again, that we might live in eternity. Let us pray for peace, that we may come to the knowledge of God's holy word and walk before Him as is fitting for believers in Christ. Let us pray for our enemies, that God would remember them in mercy and graciously grant them such things as are both needful for them and profitable for their salvation. And let us pray for the fruits of the earth, that God would send down his blessing upon them and graciously dispose our hearts to enjoy them according to his good pleasure. Finally, let us all pray for those things which our Lord would have us ask, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Behold the life-giving cross on which was hung the salvation of the world. O come, let us worship him. Behold the life-giving cross on which was hung the salvation of the world. O come, let us worship him. Behold the life-giving cross on which was hung the salvation of the world. O come, let us worship him. Thus says the Lord, What have I done to you, O my people? And wherein have I offended you? Answer me. For I have raised you up out of the prison house of sin and death, and you have delivered up your Redeemer to be scourged. For I have redeemed you from the house of bondage, and you have nailed your Savior to the cross, O my people. Holy Lord God, holy and mighty God, holy and merciful Redeemer, God eternal, leave us not to bitter death. O Lord, have mercy. Thus says the Lord, What have I done to you, O my people? And wherein have I offended you? Answer me. For I have conquered all your foes, and you have given me over and delivered me to those who persecute me. For I have fed you with my word and refreshed you with living water. And you have given me gall and vinegar to drink, O my people. Holy Lord God, holy and mighty God, holy and most merciful Redeemer, God eternal, allow us not to lose hope in the face of death and hell. O Lord, have mercy.
Were you there when they nailed him to the tree? Were you there when they nailed him to the tree?
Thus says the Lord, what have I done to you, O my people, and wherein have I offended you? Answer me. What more could I have done for my vineyard than I have done for it? When I looked for good grapes, why did it yield only bad? My people, is this how you thank your God, O my people? Holy Lord God, holy and mighty God, holy and most merciful Redeemer, God eternal, keep us steadfast in the true faith. O Lord, have mercy.
There when they laid him in the tomb, were you there when they laid him in the tomb? Oh, sometimes it causes me to tremble. Were you there when they laid him in the tomb?
We adore you, O Lord, and we praise and glorify your holy resurrection. For behold, by the wood of your cross, joy has come into all the world. God be merciful to us and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us, and have mercy upon us. We adore you, O Lord, and we praise and glorify your holy resurrection. For behold, by the wood of your cross, joy has come into all the world.
Were you there when God raised him from the tomb? Were you there?
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you have willed that your Son should bear for us the pains of the cross and so remove from us the power of the adversary.
Help us so to remember and give thanks for our Lord's passion, that we may receive forgiveness of sin and redemption from everlasting death. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Bless we the Lord. Thanks be to God. We sing our closing hymn, O love, how deep, how broad, how high.
We adore forever.